Did you drink before you came here?
No, but I'm gonna start drinking if we don't start getting to the fucking point here.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
He is not like other men, and women know it.
What is the music going on here? This sounds like when you walk into, like, Laura Ashley, 1986, or a potpourri shop.
Or he's about to just drop some mad hypnosis.
Yeah, that's true. We're all coming out brainwashed.
You're feeling very sleepy.
You're feeling very sleepy. The age of beardos is over.
So who are these men, allowed to roam unhindered in the land of women?
Unhindered in the land of women. Now it's a fairy tale.
Where is this magical place?
I want to know. I'm there. I'm all about this. I want to walk unhindered in the land of women.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
The 30 in the morning! Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and decidedly not Kristen Joy Hoadley. Tina, best to you, Tina.
Best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Chrissy on her annual pilgrimage to Mimfo with 2 weeks before and 2 weeks after for recovery purposes. Hey, listen, as I mentioned the other day on the show, if I could, I would. If I could, I would most certainly. I mean, that's just a big party with, like, your favorite band playing two nights in a row.
And we just need grace at this age. I mean...
Yes, I agree with you.
Give me some kudos for making it to the party and then give me my time.
I totally agree. Give me time to recover. I need a vacation for my vacation.
Honestly.
Man, I've felt that way for a decade. I mean, when I come back from vacation, the worst feeling in the world is feeling like you have to go to work the very next day. But every time I plan a vacation, I plan it to the last minute so that I have to go to work the very next day.
It's about the worst thing in the world.
It's the dumbest thing in the world. I got to start getting smarter. Like, plan, you know, to take a couple days there, Brian, before you have to get right back into
it. Mike's always like, you really want to drive home on Saturday? I was like, no, I don't. But what I don't want to do is drive home on Saturday and wake up for work on Monday. I can't.
You are super fucking smart, and I wish I would take a little bit of your intelligence and apply it to my vacations. Now, we have gotten a little smarter, like when we go to my dad's house. My dad's only, you know, a couple hour drive away, but we go there for the weekend. We've gotten smarter. We will come home on Saturday or early on Sunday morning, because the worst thing in the world is getting home Sunday night, having to wash, bathe, all the kids, and then be up at 6 in the morning the next day.
Forget unpacking the car.
Yeah.
Everyone's off kilter from the travel and the schedules being off while you're on vacation just to begin with.
That's it.
Yeah.
And one of my children throws up every single car ride. So that's good.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. One of my kids got Astrid when I met her very early on. We were in Europe and we were taking a car ride. And this was after we had been to a theme park. We went to a theme park called Europa World in Germany. We stayed there for a couple of days. Then on the way back to Switzerland, which was like a 5-hour car ride, she got car sick. We had to pull over. She had to throw up a number of times. She's like, this has never happened to me. I don't understand why. Maybe it's, and she had not felt good on one of the roller coasters, made her head spin a little bit.
Yeah.
Ever since then, Astrid has had car sickness. And so either it's Astrid or it's the baby. Astrid or the baby. One of those two is always throwing up. Even when we drive like an hour and a half away, it's
not
real. It's not funny, but it's funny. We've been through three different car seats with that kid in the last 6 months. Because once they you throw it
it's
away.
It's over.
We were literally in a Walmart parking lot. I can't remember if I told this story on air with Chrissy, but we were in a Walmart parking lot with all kinds of different, like, cleaning solutions that I had bought inside. And Astrid's trying to clean it out. No running water. You know, nothing.
Oh, yeah. It's impossible.
And then it happened on the way back from Disney World. And luckily, one of the guys who owned a car wash in Ocala, Florida, the middle of fucking nowhere, he took mercy on me and told me I could use his hose to wash it out. I tried to pay him, and he was like, I've been there, dude. Don't worry about it. But they were in this Walmart parking lot. And finally, after like a half an hour of trying to get the puke out of every crack and crevice in those complicated car seats, we put a plastic bag over it. And yep. I was like, I'm just going to leave it here.
Have you seen them? They make like shower caps that go over these car seats.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? Thank God I never had a kid that made me need one of those.
Yeah. I think we might be at that stage.
Yeah. Just do it. I mean, you know, then you just throw the thing away.
If you have a kid, if you've had a kid in the last 10 years, then you will understand the plight of a father and a mother, father and or a mother, with a car seat, because the baby car seats, like the ones they use until they're 3 years old, 2 or 3 years old, those are so incredibly complicated.
And cumbersome.
And cumbersome and heavy and huge. And you, it takes you an hour to put them in. It takes you an hour to take them off. And then they have a million cracks and crevices mm-hmm. that anything can get down into, especially puke.
Sometimes you find it after you make it bigger for the next size and yes. the strap is sticky and you're like, oh God.
What was this child doing?
Burn it. Start over.
So anyway, I agree with you. We need to plan smarter. That's it. I'm going to plan smarter for my next vacation, which is, I don't know when that'll be. Not anytime soon, because Chrissy's taking vacation to go to Memfo. Memfofest.com. If you want tickets, they are still available. That is happening this weekend, so you better get on it if you're in the Memphis area. It's a good time. I went. Chris, you went. You came.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we were at the tent.
Besides being stuck next to the porta potties, I would say that it was a lot of fun. I would say besides the general rank of the porta potties.
It was a great festival.
It really was. Yeah. Mike came with us too.
He did.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. We all went down there and really had a time.
We gave Memfo the what fors.
We did give him the what fors. The only thing that I really remember about Memfo is that I'm in Memphis. No knock on Memphis. I love that fucking town. But we're staying at some brand new boutique hotel somewhere in the middle of somewhere in Memphis. And that was because it was like contracted with the festival. And so we got one of the rooms. And I was hungry after the first night of the festival. So, and Astrid was not feeling good. She was actually sick. So I ordered food and I went to go pick it up. I had to walk a mile and a half to get the food. And I'm going to tell you what right now. Memphis, certain parts of Memphis, shouldn't be walking
not
at 3 o'clock in the morning to go get food. Nope. No sir. No sir, Rebob. But I made it home in one piece by keeping my head down and just walking fast. That's what I did. I would have happily given up my food had I been attacked. I just would have given them the food.
just take it.
Take my shitty cheeseburger. So it's Tuesday as we're recording this, Wednesday as it's coming out. I just wanted to mention very briefly two things. Number one, we have not been back on air since Jimmy Kimmel and that whole debacle. We've actually been off this entire time, but we did put out an episode. We repeated the Danny Ricker episode. I made a little, you know, a little prologue to that. And a lot of people texted in. And I want to share, anecdotally, I'll share what a young lady named Amanda, who has been listening to the show, has been texting with the show. And I know Amanda and I do not see eye to eye when it comes to some political stuff. She's mentioned it before in the past. It's been, you know, but I give her kudos because she still continues to listen to the show. She still continues to be a fan. And she doesn't care when we talk politics because she doesn't see eye to eye with us when we talk politics. And that's okay, right? We don't talk politics a lot on this show, but every once in a while, you got to touch the third rail.
It creeps in.
It's too big to ignore. Yeah, it's too big to ignore. It's like the big Christmas present under the tree. You can't not unwrap it on occasion. It's the big one under the tree, right? You got to shake the box every once in a while. So even though Amanda and I disagree probably on a lot of the politics, she wrote me an extremely nice note after that Danny Ricker episode, sharing that there is one thing that we can agree upon, and she appreciated the way that I approached that, and that is that once we start telling people what they can and can't say, we start overtly threatening to take, you know, business away, licenses away, livelihoods away, because we don't agree with what somebody says, then we are fucked. It is a slippery slope, and we are quickly going to become the country that no one wants to live in, right, left, or center. And so Danny is a friend of the show. Danny Ricker, who's the executive producer, head writer at Jimmy Kimmel, is a part of the show. I communicated with him. He did not say anything interesting to me, and I wouldn't share that on the show if he did. But of course he didn't. He couldn't. I never asked him to, right?
Sure.
I just wanted him to know that, hey, we're with you. We support you. And Danny was kind enough to respond. And so when I was watching Jimmy, did you watch Jimmy's monologue from that night?
I did not.
Brilliant. You got to go watch it. If you haven't had a chance, you know, only 68 million people have watched it, Tina. Don't worry about it. It's 2 weeks ago.
She saw it last.
You really heard it last. the monologue, what do? You get pulled off air for something that you said that was maybe ill-timed, maybe misconceived, maybe the, you know, it just wasn't the right time to say what Jimmy said. I don't know. Whatever you think of what Jimmy initially said, that's up to you. But it wasn't until 3 days later when the chairman of the FCC decided he was going to complain about it that ABC took him off air. They suspended him, quote unquote. Then there was, you know, this back and forth. The whole creative community, Hollywood, everybody, you know the story. Yeah. You have to have had your head in a hole not to know the story. So he comes back, and I will share this, how difficult it must be to be sitting in that room making decisions about what is going to be said when he comes back. Do we capitulate? Do we apologize up, down, and, you know, right, center? Do we ignore it and just go right back? Like, I imagine Dave Letterman probably would have ignored everything that had happened and just would have been right back into the punchline.
Sure.
That's how I imagine Dave would have handled it. Jimmy did not. He threaded the needle so beautifully, and he did not stand down, not one inch. But he made it clear that he was not apologetic, but that he had empathy for what had happened to that young man that we all know about. I'm not going to mention the word because it's it's such a hot topic right now that who knows who's banning who for what right now. Which is sad that I even have to say that, really, honestly, but that's the way that it is. So I thought Jimmy did a wonderful job. That monologue was incredible. So I write Danny while I'm watching the monologue, while it's happening, while it's being out. I said, hey, what a great job you guys did. Because I know that they had all been working on this big comeback monologue together. I said, what a great job you did. Congratulations. You know what he responded almost immediately? He said, I would love to take credit for any of this, but this is all Jim. Like, we didn't do much here. This is all Jimmy. Jimmy really was the one who wrote this out. And that made me feel even better about Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, listen, when Jimmy fucking Kimmel is the guy we're relying on to keep our free speech alive, no knock on Jimmy Kimmel, but he's the dude who was on The Man Show.
It was the girls on trampolines.
It was the girls on trampolines. That's the dude we're relying on. That's the linchpin for democracy. It's Jimmy fucking Kimmel. I love the guy.
Me too.
I like his late night show. I love Danny Ricker. It's my favorite late night show, if I'm being honest.
Of course.
But, I mean, that's the guy. That's the guy. It's not like, you know, some poet or some, you know, famous author or, I don't know, somebody like Bruce Springsteen. I don't know. It's Jimmy Kimmel. Anyway, he did a great job. And I just wanted to mention those two things. Number one, congratulations, Jimmy. I thought you did a great job. You deserved every eyeball that you got, you deserved. I mean, Trump wanted him to shut up and he got the best ratings of his life. And number two, I do appreciate people like Amanda, who we cannot see eye to eye, but then we can find commonality in certain places. And I think we can all agree. Free speech is just one of those things. Fucking touch it. Just don't touch it. Free speech, the judicial system, and the military, that should be free from political bullshit, right? And speaking of that, did you see that Pete Hegseth, the, I don't know what they call that now, the Department of War, head of the Department of
what
War?
What did he do now?
He has now flown in every general in the entire military into Washington, D.C. this morning as we're recording this, so he can give a big pep rally to all of the generals about the new age of the warrior ethos. Yes. Okay. Exactly the way that I feel. I want you to listen. Just take a listen to this. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, no. I lost it. Oh, no. I lost it. Hold on. I hate that when I get something all ready and then I lose it. But then maybe I should be a little bit more prepared than waiting for my phone to load. Do you know what I'm saying? Maybe
how do you prepare yourself to walk into a pep rally like that?
I have to imagine that if you're a general in the United States military and you're a military career person, I don't know.
They ring the bell. They're like, assembly time. Let's go.
Let's go. We're going to listen to this dipshit. Wasn't he a guy on Fox? I mean, he was like a newsman on Fox. I do know that he was in the reserve, like the Army Reserves, I think, or maybe he was like a National Guardsman or something like that. So he was at some point in the military. But this is the same dude that was like on Fox and Friends.
Yes.
And now he's the head of the Department of War without any military experience that's meaningful whatsoever. Okay, he's the guy that we got, I guess. And so I think we're supposed to root him on. I'm not sure. Where did that go? Oh, damn it. I lost it. Okay, so listen. I will share this. So he gets up there. him and Donald Trump are going to give this big pep rally. So he gets up there and he spends 5.5 minutes on beards, how we're not going to have the age of beardos. I think he was trying to, you know, make a funny little play on the word weirdos.
Yeah.
The age of beardos is over. We're going to be high and tight.
This better not be true. I'm just saying.
It is 1,000% true. I had the clip here. I'll see if I can find it during the break. I had the clip here, and it is unbelievable that he called every general in the entire world into Washington, D.C. First of all, security-wise, doesn't sound like the smartest move.
Nope.
But okay. Not exactly a great use of resources. Couldn't we have done this over Zoom?
Sure.
And number three, you pull all of these incredible men and women into a room that are literally waiting to put their lives on the line for freedom and democracy, and you talk to them about beards.
That's personal hygiene.
That's why you had to call everybody in. That feels more like a shift meeting at McDonald's than it does at the Department of fucking Defense, which you call the Department of War for whatever reason. Why are we even doing that? That just sounds antagonistic.
Just harkens idiocracy in my mind. Just starts.
It really is. It really is. I just can't even believe it. I mean, I think right, left, or center. You have to agree that this is not a great use of time.
No.
On behalf of all of the most important men and women in our entire...
Where are all of our fiscal conservatives right now?
I have no idea. They are literally... have their whole, I don't know. They have their heads directly up their asses. I just don't know. And the Democrats are doing no better, by the way. So let's just, why don't we just clean house?
Yeah.
I just say clean house, start over.
Like the car seat.
Yes.
Just throw it out.
Take it to Walmart. Put it on one of those, you know, islands with all the people throw trash on. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
With one tree that looks sick and it's got all the bad pine straw.
Yep.
And you just leave it there. And hope that somebody comes
and
picks...
Someone clean it up.
Yes. Hope that someone comes and picks them up and takes them home. All of them. All, whatever they are, 300, 400, 800 of them, whatever. Put them there, and let's get some new people. Well, I don't know who those people are, but I can think of a few. I mean, JoJo Siwa would make a better Department of Defense head at this point than Pete Hegseth. And I'm not kidding. This is... insanity. You brought them in to talk about their beard?
What's his problem with the beard? Let's talk about this for a minute, because I take issue with that alone. I love a man with a beard.
I would have thought that beards have become ubiquitous with manliness.
Of course.
And over the last, since Trump, they've taken on a whole new connotation. The warrior ethos, which is what Pete is so jazzed about in his three-piece suit with that,
right,
you know, his two-inch too short pants, you know, the warrior ethos in your
Italian leather loafers,
yeah, your skinny jeans. Right. I mean, come on, that warrior ethos is embedded into these guys with these big beards and these jawlines, and that's what it's all become. We, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Don't pretend like you don't. So why are now everybody has to be clean shaven?
It's
even
real weird.
Disney World backed off that one. Even Disney World backed off that one. His problem is, if you give an inch, you take a mile. It's like the smashed window. He says the smashed window theory of policing. If you let one person smash a window, if you let it go, then the small stuff goes, the big stuff goes. I can understand how that might be concerning if, like, we're talking about, you know, randomly shooting off guns at innocent people. But that's not what we're talking about. It's a fucking beard or a mustache. Who cares? As a matter of fact, in Top Gun, some of my favorite pilots in that movie have a really nice mustache. Didn't they have mustaches in that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goose had a mustache.
Goose had a mustache. Why? If Goose can have a mustache, so can any of those guys in that. As far as I'm concerned, the guys that flew all the way from...
If you can grow it, grow it.
Jakarta to listen to Drunk Pig and Seth, they can... Feel free to dress however you want to dress, as long as you're ready for action when the time comes.
Yeah, I'm really not worried about your facial hair.
Who is? Pete Hegseth.
Apparently Pete.
Pete's running around.
Pete's got facial hair envy or something.
Yeah, he also talked about all of the fat people that were walking around the Pentagon, and that now they're going to have new height and weight standards. Height and weight standards? Height, what is... Is this Miss USA? Or is
are they going to have to run a marathon?
Yeah,
or
is this Victoria's Secret?
Or fly a plane?
What's going on? I don't even think, I guess you do have, do you have to be a certain height to fly a plane?
You do. My dad wanted to join the Air Force and couldn't because he was too short.
No shit. Well, I guess you do have to, you got to make sure that those
feet reach the pedals.
You got to reach the pedals on an airplane. And there are pedals on an airplane.
You would know.
I would know. And it's the most unnerving thing to learn is that the pedals on the airplane really only work when you're on the ground, not in the air.
Just gas FYI.
Yeah, you gas it and the plane goes banking to the left down into the ground. So as soon as you get in the air, take your feet off the pedals is what I learned really quickly.
I'll try to remember that.
Please do. All right, enough bitching about Pete Hegseth. I'll see if I can find the clip so I can actually, you know, wrap this segment all up. Let's take a break. I didn't call you in here to talk about politics or political or military beardos all day long. What I actually wanted to talk to you about is Zon Perignon, our favorite PUA from the 21 convention that Chrissy and I have done plenty of. I found like a vintage video of him, like early Zon, like when he's really, he calls himself Seduction Illuminata, whatever the fuck that means.
Wow.
He's got a whole course out there. I got some video from it. I think we should watch it.
I think we should.
All right. I'll try and find Pete. We'll get over to Zon. We'll get back. It's Memfo Week here at the commercial break. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of the commercial break.
Okay, it's Memfo Week here at TCB, and so Tina is with me. Hi, Tina.
Hello.
Okay, but of course you've been listening to the first. I wouldn't think you would just skip right to the second segment, or maybe you did. But anyway, listen, I found this clip of Pete talking about grooming standards. It's one of 10 directives that he had, and that some of them are like, you know, now all military will adhere to the male standards. I'm not even getting into it. Listen to what he says about grooming. Hold on.
And so many of you do this already. Active, guard, and reserve. This also means grooming standards. No more beards, long hair, superficial individual expression. We're going to cut our hair, shave our beards, and adhere to standards. Because it's like the broken windows theory of policing. It's like when you let the small stuff go, the big stuff eventually goes. So you have to address the small stuff. This is on duty, in the field, and in the rear. If you want a beard, you can join Special Forces. If not, then shave. We don't have a military full of Nordic pagans. But unfortunately, we have had leaders who either refused to call BS and enforce standards, or leaders who felt like they were not allowed to enforce standards. Both are unacceptable. And that's why today, at my direction, the Air...
First of all, can you hear his shoes squeaking? His shoes are squeaking. It's so unnerving.
It's those brand new Italian leather
loafers. Yeah, and here he is talking about the military standards, and he's in a three-piece suit. It's unbelievable.
...of unprofessional appearance is over. No more beardos.
No more beardos.
No more beardos. That's going to be the soundbite. When you address these guys, you need to address them with a modicum of seriousness. And I just don't think this is serious conversation for these guys. I really don't. I don't think it matters whether or not someone has a beard. Talking all about living up to male standards, and you know, it's 2025. There are so many women in our armed services, and have been. They've
fulfilling critical roles.
Fulfilling critical roles since World War II, since the Revolutionary War, let's put it that way. And those roles may not always be on the front lines or as a general or whatever, but it's just unbelievable to me that we're going so We're going so petty and so backwards.
The pendulum swing is insane.
It is absolutely insane. Now, let's talk about the pendulum swing when it comes to PUAs. One of our favorite pickup artists is Zon Perignon. Zon Perignon, we found him at the 21 convention when he was giving a speech on your whatever chakra. I don't know if you remember that, but he was talking about his chakras. And he's like, can't remember what the name of the chakra is, whatever. It's like, okay, if you're gonna drop chakra.
Just all the chakras.
Yeah, if you're going to drop chakra, you better know which one you're talking about.
They are pretty important.
They are pretty important. I found a video that is called Enlightened Seduction. That's his name of his company. The Way of the Natural.
The natural what?
I don't know. We're about to find out. Let's listen to him as he gets into it right here. This is early Zon. Look at how young he is. I don't know if you've seen a picture of him lately. This is probably 20, 30 years ago.
He's not a beardo.
No, he's not a beardo, but he is now, but he wasn't right back then.
Are those who have acquired.
Oh, let's.
These rare men are those who have acquired, who have consciously learned the ability to see women in their natural state, who can see right through their makeup, their walls, their insecurities,
and their clothing.
Well, you've never woken up next to a woman before? That's my most natural state.
I know. Their hair, their makeup, and their clothing. I literally have X-ray vision. My name is Zon Perignon, and I'm the CEO of Enlightened Seduction Productions.
ESP.
ESP. Oh, yeah, baby. And why are you sitting in a director's chair?
It's the whole scene is unsettling.
Let me set the scene. He's got a black drape behind him, which is not particularly well done. But let's get past that, because this is probably 1990-something.
Somebody's basement.
He has a bright white coat on. I mean, flat white coat on with a black shirt and then, like, green What are the corduroys or something?
They look like they're a little been worn too many times.
Yeah,
like some old black jeans.
Yes, and then he's sitting in a director's chair for what? Well, he is the director of Enlightened Seduction Productions.
The loss. They see women as they really are. Women can sense immediately when they are in the presence of a man who likes women, who thinks they are beautiful, who makes them feel lovely, who delights in them.
I would really like to understand what that feels like.
Is he trying
like
to put us to sleep?
He's such a bad communicator.
It's so bad.
But what he's saying is so funny. He hasn't gotten much better in the 30 years since, by the way.
He genuinely likes women.
Genuinely. What is a genuine? Oh, he must be from Canada. That's how they say genuinely.
And men that like women are liked by women. So.
What in the good fuck are you talking about?
Most heterosexual men like women.
Like women, yes. That's,
not every heterosexual female is going to like you back. I mean,
that's true.
Just not a qualifier.
No, it doesn't really matter how much you like women. And guys who really like women might turn women off, if you know
creepy.
What I mean. They're a little creepy,
a little
right?
Creepy.
There's a sweet spot in there somewhere. Number one. Number two, I'm remembering the most important thing we need to remember about Zon. He never gets to the fucking point. He will talk and talk and talk, making no conclusions whatsoever. So just get ready for that.
Women open themselves up to him willingly. This is because he...
Like a beautiful flower, they open themselves up to him frequently.
He should have been a meditation guru.
Yeah, he could have. I'm all right. I could go to sleep to this guy. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put him on tonight for my daughters as they're going to sleep. And I'm going to say, just remember, if anybody starts talking like this...
Run.
Yes, run. Sleep is not the right reaction.
...that women universally respond to. He is not like other men, and women know it.
What is the music going on here? This sounds like when you walk into, like, Laura Ashley, 1986, or a potpourri shop.
Or he's about to just drop some mad hypnosis.
Yeah, that's true. We're all coming out brainwashed.
You're feeling very sleepy.
You're feeling very sleepy. The age of beardos is over.
So who are these men, allowed to roam unhindered in the land of women?
Unhindered in the land of women. Now it's a fairy tale. Yeah,
where is this magical place?
I want to know. I'm there. I'm all about this. I want to walk unhindered in the land of women.
Only men that women like.
Yeah.
Apparently nothing else but women. Let's do it.
They're unhindered. Like they should be captured.
Or just on a leash.
Yeah, they're X-Men. They need to be cornered and he scooped up.
What qualities do they possess that compel women to allow them liberties not afforded to other men?
What liberties are you? You must give us more detail.
These are the men we call naturals. Natural seducers. A natural facility with women.
And I have been trying to become one for my entire life. And that's why I present to you today my white coat.
I love how he implies that all women just walk around wanting to be naturally seduced.
Naturally, by a natural. A natural. I'm a natural.
Sometimes I just want to go to the grocery store.
I know.
Get my Ben and Jerry's and go home.
That's right. That's. I think that you're right, that this is the fallacy of a lot of these PUAs. The assumption is they're always, like, you know, they say, do the open, and then you do the close, and then you know, there's all these pieces,
yeah.
These segments.
Formulaic,
very mathematical approach. And they're also always assuming that every girl that is out there in the wild that you might interact with is ready for your cold open. I mean, it's just not
right.
True.
A man who is comfortable in the land of women. Now, there have been times at speaking engagements where I've been introduced as an example of a true natural. Zan, my friend Zan, is a natural. And as I'm walking up to the stage, I'm scratching my head and I'm thinking, is that really true? Am I really a natural? Is that really what I am?
You're so humble, Zan. Zan. He can't even say his own name right.
Tell us some more, Zan.
Zan, you idiot.
Am I a true natural? Well, let's run down the usual checklist, shall we, and find out.
Please, let's do that.
Do I believe in women? Yes, I do.
Check. Do I believe in women?
Like there's some fabled entity.
Like they're
some
unicorns. They're three-eared dolphins. Do I believe in women? Well, after a bit of research and a lot of ChatGPTing, I'm leaning toward it. I'm thinking about it.
Am I comfortable around women? I am. Do I flirt with women? Of course. All ages, shapes, and sizes.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. That's terrible. Let me stop here because this is a perfect segue into something I saw this morning I desperately wanted to talk about. There is a movie from 1982 called Blame It on Rio. Do you know the name of this movie, Blame It on Rio?
Who's in it?
I'm about to tell you who's in it because I can't remember.
Hold I was on. Three, so I'm pretty sure I would have been much later. In,
okay. Blame It on Rio. Hold on. Okay. Very famous. Very famous. Michael Caine. Demi Moore. And then some other people. Valerie Harper. Some other people you would not have known because nothing really happened. Michelle Johnson. Let me tell you the plot of this movie. It was pointed out in an Instagram reel, and I can't believe this movie even exists. Two men are divorced from their wives, and they decide to go to Rio de Janeiro on their family vacation with their two teenage daughters. Their teenage daughters are both 17 years old. Michael Caine falls in love with his best friend's teenage daughter.
Oh, boy, Lolita.
And spends the entire movie having sex with her behind his best friend's back. Not even kidding. And the girl who played this Lolita, Michelle Johnson, whatever her name is, was 17 at the time. She is naked throughout the entire movie. The undertones and overtones are insane. Just the stuff they pointed out in the reel was like,
oh,
I cannot believe this movie still
did
exists.
Not age well.
And you should read the reviews about this movie on fucking Rotten Tomatoes. How many creepy men are saying, this is my favorite movie. I love this movie.
People
don't understand it was different back then. What's the big deal? Happens all the time.
It's not different back then. It was still illegal.
Yes. It happens all the time that you sleep with your best friend's 17-year-old daughter. By the way, Michael Caine is a smooth, young, 58-year-old man in this movie. 58! It's insane. So, Zan apparently likes them all ages, sizes, and shapes, too.
Have I dated beautiful women? Yes, I have.
But it was complete accident. But I paid for
the
service.
I kept them blindfolded the whole time.
I have... And I paid for it with my credit card.
Have I had great relationships with wonderful women? The best.
The best.
I like how he separated that from dated beautiful women to had relationships with wonderful women, yes, as if they're two categories.
They are two categories.
Completely.
Yeah, you're mixing it up, Tina. You just don't understand. You're not a natural like I am. He's speaking a language only those who are unhindered in the land of women, can understand. Oh, my God. The best. I want to cut that into a drop.
His hand gestures. I wish the audience could see him.
I know.
It's
well, you
much.
Can't. YouTube.com/thecommercialbreak.
What about this question? Have I slept with a lot of women?
The best.
No, it is not beautiful or wonderful.
The best.
More than most, I suppose. Have I had threesomes? Or more sums, more than three?
Is that a question on the checklist?
Thank you for clarifying. Yeah, you're not a natural if you haven't had a moresome.
I'm out. I haven't had a moresome. And the threesome didn't really include me. I was in the room, but I
didn't
include.
Does it count if I watch the threesome?
What's that? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm whacking off to the twosome. It could be a threesome. Does that make it a threesome? I'm just curious. Are there rules? Are there qualifiers? There's what I need to know.
This is an intense checklist,
yeah,
to your point.
This could be the one check that I don't get.
Hmm.
Oh, he doesn't
answer. Oh, fade to black. He doesn't. He
leaves
just,
a mystery.
That's a dangling participle if I've ever heard one.
He's got more than one of those.
Yeah, seriously.
So am I a natural? Does that make me a natural? Well, how about this question? Can I extract a phone number from a girl in a club or a party?
Extract?
Well, yeah. Extract? What?
Is this a procedure?
I know. It's a medical procedure.
Can. Can I perhaps extract the entire girl from the club or the party?
Let's
forget the phone
number. Son. We're not extracting people from anywhere, sir.
Yeah, let's calm down on the name, you know, all heights, ages, and sizes.
I appreciate you trying to improve your vernacular, but...
extract is not the word. Can I convince someone, or can I bring someone home? None of it sounds good, actually. Just leave that part out, Don.
Yeah, I suppose I can, but there are other guys that are better at doing that than me. Like I always say, I am not a pickup artist. That's not what interests me. How about this question? Can I take your woman away from you?
Oh, provocative. Do tell.
Nah, probably not. After all.
Probably not.
You're most likely a good husband or boyfriend.
That's
she loves
why you're
you.
Watching my video.
Yeah, that's... So true. That's why you picked up a copy from my Enlightened Seduction production. I gotta imagine if you're on that mailing list, you are the furthest thing from a good boyfriend or husband. Not because you couldn't be, but because boyfriend or husband is probably not how you're described.
I'll leave you for me. But can I convince her to have a secret affair with me? Well, no, that's a different question.
Isn't that taking him away from you? What is the difference?
What is he on about?
Yeah, I don't know. We're still on the checklist. I thought we had gotten past this. This is why Zahn...
He just keeps asking questions.
I know. This is why he's asking them in the third person to himself, by the way, and he's answering them. I wonder if there's like a production crew behind this, or if he
definitely
just
no.
press
not this
record.
One.
Oh.
I wouldn't, of course. That's not the way I do things. But yeah, I probably could. You see, I am a lover of beauty. Beauty in all its forms, art in all its forms. And that attitude will make you automatically more magnetic to women. Mm. Tactics and techniques will allow you to take a girl home from a club or a party. We'll teach you that. But what I'm talking about is so much deeper. Because given an hour with that very same girl, your delight in her will create a kind of poetry for her, a connection. So... here is the part that really interests me, as opposed to...
your vagina. What in
extraction.
Extraction. Also known as kidnapping. Given an hour, I can figure out how to get her out of the club without anybody noticing.
Oh, good.
Wait until she leaves for the bathroom.
Picking up a girl. What interests me is the notion of creating chemistry and amplifying attraction. You know, the first time you spend... time with her over coffee or a glass of wine. So maybe I'm the best at convincing a girl to leave the club with me.
Well, then thank God I paid $399 for this stupid VHS tape. Congratulations, Zahn. This is why Zahn has not had a flourishing career as a PUA. It's because he I do give him this. He has humility in his braggadociousness. There's somewhere in there. It feels like, you know, he understands how ridiculous this all really is. It's almost like he can't help himself. There's nothing else he's good at in life.
I still want him to tell us how he's going to help you create chemistry.
I'm promising you right now, Tina. I am almost an expert on Zan or Zon. And Zan here cannot come to a conclusion or a point. He can't give you detailed information. It's impossible for him to do because none of these guys can, because they don't know how to do it themselves. They can't then extract the information you need in order to get it right. They can't.
Give me an hour with that very same girl, and I can pretty much guarantee that she will remember me for the rest of her life. So does that make me a natural?
I can only imagine why you're going to remember him for the rest of your life.
That's not always a good thing. That's
TPO?
Not always. Yeah, that's right. I remember breaking my arm in fourth grade for the rest of my life. It's not for the right reasons.
Nope.
Let's see. Do I believe that I can seduce any given woman in any room? Yes, as a matter of fact, I do.
Dare.
Yeah.
Now, am I always...
Pictures or it didn't happen. Pictures or it didn't happen.
Successful in seducing any given woman in the room.
I'll take the over-under.
And that is a very, very important point for you to remember. You see, my ability...
Wait, I think that we talked over that, but that bears repeating. Do I believe I could seduce any woman in a room? Yes, yes, I do. Do I believe I would be successful at seducing any woman in the room?
No.
No, probably not. What's the difference?
There isn't.
Doesn't there have to be like some mutual agreement on seduction?
That's what chemistry is.
That's what chemistry is. Yeah, you
can't
fake
it. You either have it
or you don't. That's right.
You can want it in the relationship. You may feel it, but if they don't, it's not chemistry.
That's right.
It's just obsession and you need some help.
I could walk around a room licking the back of women's necks all day long,
yep,
too. It doesn't necessarily mean anybody's going to enjoy it.
Right.
But I like my odds after I take this course from Enlightened Seduction Production.
He's going to teach you how to meditate into woman fairyland.
I love
you can
it.
Run around unhindered,
unhindered
in your mind.
That's right. In the land of the women.
And my belief in my ability to seduce women is not necessarily related to my actual success in seducing women. But I'll tell you this. That attitude...
What is the
just
difference?
Keep believing.
Yeah. So wait, you can seduce a woman and not... I don't get it.
He has a very strong belief that he can...
seduce someone. But whether or not he's successful doing that...
The important part is he believes.
Yes. Is seducing a woman implies that you've got her. Like, if I seduce you, I've got you. We're on the same page. Some chemistry is born. Now we're both in this little world together of magic where, you know, the romance and attraction happen. But he's saying
sometimes
he
can't reach her glass to get the
roofie in there.
Yeah. It will take you very far. It is endearing to women.
By the way, nothing funny about roofing a woman.
Absolutely
so please,
not.
Yeah, please. But understand the tone
of
our...
Yes.
We're making fun of something that's not very funny.
And there is no harm in it. Believe me, it will open far more doors for you than it closes. It's refreshing to women to hear that. I simply decided one day long ago that every woman that talks to me or interacts with me at all is interested in me. It's not always true, of course.
Of course.
But I'm just completely delusional.
Did he just realize this
yes.
at 29 years old?
Yeah, he's completely delusional.
It is a very fun and empowering way to conduct your life. So, was I born a natural? Was I born naturally good with women? No. And I'll tell you why.
You don't say. Please say it's not true, Zan.
It's because the first secret of naturals is this. They're not born with it. Every man...
Maybe it's
isn't
Maybelline.
Isn't that what a natural means?
Yeah, I think... I think you're right. That is a good point, Tina. Doesn't natural imply that it comes naturally? It's
there was no training or modifications.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, right. No, you're a professional, not a natural.
Throughout history, who was good with women was good because he chose to be. At one point in his life...
This is the porniest music I have ever heard. This 70s porn music playing in the background is perfect for him.
Tired of rejection, he decided to consciously get that part of his life handled. He made a choice. And so he began to interact with women. He began to listen to women. He tried and failed.
Where's that course?
What's that?
Where's that course?
Yeah, I want to know that course.
The Art of Rejection.
The Art of Rejection is the one we... teach these idiots how to be rejected.
Yes.
It's part of the game.
Paint the things that worked and discarded the things that didn't. In other words, he invented himself. So there's nothing I say or do that you can't say or do. It's all just a choice. Naturals are not born, they're made.
Okay, I'm not sure I'm with you on that one, Zan. Zan. I can't take that. I can't unhear him saying his own name as Zan. All right, let's do this. Let's take a short break, and we'll be back with lots more Zan.
Let me do something Brian has never done. Be brief. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break. Text or call us 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Visit our website, tcbpodcast.com, for all the audio, video, and your free sticker. Then watch all the videos at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. And finally, share the show. It's the best gift you could give a few aging podcasters. See, Brian? That really wasn't that difficult, now was it? You're welcome.
Okay, we're here with Enlightened Seduction Productions by Zan. Talking about the naturals that are not naturally born with it. They're, of course, made. And that's the nature or nurture thing, Chris, Tina, that we've all been, you know, wondering for ethos. How exactly is a man who walks unhindered in the land of women, how do they come to be? And according to Zan, they are made, not born. Now we got that out of the way. I'm going to fast forward a little bit here because we're really in the thick of it with all of this bullshit. And I want to get to the meat and potatoes. So we're fast forwarding to what I assume is trait number one of a natural. Let's hear him drone on about this for a minute.
Trait number one. To a natural seducer, they are all his girls. Every woman is his woman. He has immense compassion for women.
Oh, well, I'm watching a show about that right now called Seeking Sister Wives on TLC.
I love it.
It's back. It's back. And I didn't even know it was back until I saw that I had two episodes already recorded.
Okay.
And they are back. I will update everybody on the comings and goings of the Sister Wives, or the Seeking the Sister Wives, which is a fantastic show about a bunch of fucking morons. And I just don't know how they do it. I don't know how to do it.
I don't either. Well, I mean, it's not, they don't have a clear-cut path.
No.
That's for sure.
Yeah, it's so difficult.
They don't have a list.
Yeah. So there's the people, the season number six, and there are the people who have been on since season one. And each season, they are trying to bring a new sister wife into the mix. And yet again, they're back on season number six with a brand new woman they're trying to seduce. Now, for television or for real life, I'm not sure what the deal is. I'm assuming at this point it's for television, but man, what a show. Zan would be perfect on this show.
And he sees their sadness and their loss, their faded dreams, their dead and dying relationships, their stultifying careers and responsibilities, and he makes it his mission to impart beauty to her life again.
Nothing like a guy who wants to fix a woman. Nothing like
a fixer. And how dare you suggest that my dreams are faded?
Yeah.
My career is whatever he just said. Yeah.
He's talking. He's talking about picking up women who are
vulnerable
and broken. Mm-hmm. Right? Which, by the way, we all are at some point in our lives. So, you know, look at the last 5 years of the commercial break. I'm dead, dying, and broken.
Faded dreams.
My faded dreams.
And he does this with every woman, including the 60-year-old waitress who is serving him eggs for breakfast. They are all his girls. He makes that waitress shine. He makes her feel pretty. He makes her feel alive and inspired once again. It's because he believes that women deserve passion, and he knows they are not getting it from the men they are involved with. So it is his mission to correct this imbalance. This is the first trait.
I love picking up the 60-year-old woman making me scrambled eggs in the morning. Nothing wrong with a 60-year-old woman. But I don't make it my mission in life to try and fix their broken dreams.
No, and I double dog dare some man try to treat me like I'm not satisfied and my dreams are dying and broken.
It's a pretty interesting way to start a conversation. Are you dead and
you
dying
look really
inside?
Sad.
Yes. You look like a sad, broken human. You want to fuck? No? All right.
Here's a $5 tip.
I guess I got to go back and watch the entire tape.
A natural seducer.
Oh, look, whoa, a change in position. Shirt. Yeah, a new shirt. He's standing in front of a white backdrop. He's oily for some
this
reason.
This is way better for his complexion.
I agree.
Has compassion for women. All women. Remember, they're all his girls. It is his mission in life to make them feel alive and pretty again. And he does it. To illustrate that, I'll tell you a story of a time I was at a party.
Oh, here we go.
And it was a really fancy party. There's a lot of people there in a nice big house. And a lot of pretty girls there. And I remember I was sitting on the arm of a couch. And there was three girls sitting on the couch. Pretty maidens all in a row.
And they started jacking me off one by
one.
What the fuck?
God.
It's like a porn movie. I started getting blowjobs one by one.
Just
I went
imagine
down the
it
row.
Now.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine it now. Lots of pretty girls. Big house. Nice big house. Fantastic party.
Best, unhindered.
Best party you've ever been to.
And the one I liked was the one in the middle. But I was talking initially to the one on closest to me on this end. And eventually going to start to turn my conversation to the one in the middle. So I'm sitting on the end of this couch. Talking to
this is called running
the
train.
The one in the middle.
This is called running train.
Girl. And she was a fun girl, and we're having a great conversation. She was pretty and lively, and it was excellent. We're laughing and joking. And a guy came up to me through the crowd, an acquaintance of mine, a guy that kind of knew me and I kind of know him. And he walked up to me.
It started making out with me. And all of a sudden, the cat's out of the bag.
And I said, hi, how you doing? And he leaned down to me, and he whispered in a stage whisper, a loud whisper, what are you doing, Zan? I've never seen you pick up a fat chick before.
Oh.
And he trundled off through the crowd. I looked down at this wonderful, beautiful girl that I've been talking to, and I saw her face fall. And it broke my heart. I saw her sadness, and I couldn't believe.
Okay, didn't happen. First of all,
did
never
not
happen. Never happened. That no one ever came up and said that. Okay, but go on, Zan. Please tell me your fairy tale.
Believe that he would say that, and he was already gone. I grabbed her by the hand, and I said, "Come with me." I picked her up out of the couch, put my arm in hers like this, and I spent the rest of the entire evening at the party with that girl. I ignored the other girl I was trying to see. I ignored all the girls there. I made her feel like she was the most beautiful girl there. We were the light.
I need a hero. I need a hero to fear the to the end of
Does
the
he
night.
Want some sort of medal for hanging out
with a girl who was overweight? Maybe. I mean, this. Yeah.
What is this?
And first of all, never happened. Never happened.
Guaranteed.
He is telling this story to make himself feel better and look like a hero. He is literally trying to pick up women through this video, and it's just so transparent. You don't tell a story like that. If that's really what happened, and it didn't. If that's really what happened, you just go about your life. Okay, you know what? Yeah, we're having a good time with somebody. You don't now you're taking pity on people.
You want some accolade.
Yeah.
Zan.
Ask Pete.
Swipe and left, buddy.
Yeah.
The party, we were telling jokes and wandering around, introducing ourselves to everybody. She was my girl for that night. That's what I'm saying.
How wonderful she must have felt when you never called her back again.
When I say a natural seducer has compassion for women, they are all his girls. He takes care of them all. That's what I mean.
That was number one.
Shakespeare.
It's not even number two?
It's not even number two. Now we're moving into Shakespeare. What? There's a title card on the video that says Shakespeare. What are we doing?
Shakespeare wrote, she's beautiful and therefore to be wooed. She is a woman and therefore to be won. This is what he believes. He knows that most women are not really 100% single. Every woman that is even remotely pleasant to be around has a guy of some stripe somewhere. She either has a husband or a fiancé or a boyfriend or a guy she is seeing, or a guy she is kind of dating, or a guy she is sleeping with, or a guy who likes her. And she
Because dating was a thing back in Shakespeare's time.
There was courting. There was a thing called courting.
Tolerates, or a guy she can call. You know, to wait for a woman to be completely single is to wait a long time. True, she might be newly single, but that is a very narrow window. Most women will get involved on some level with someone very soon. And the enlightened seducer recognizes this and gives it no further thought. They are all his women. They are all his girls. It is his mission to make women feel beautiful again. It doesn't mean that he's going to steal her away.
Zan, we need you more now, more than ever. Can you please come to the year 2025, this version of Zan?
Yeah.
Not the down on his luck, didn't sell a book, went through a bad divorce Zan that we know so well, but this one.
From the guy she is with. It just means that in his presence, she feels like a woman. He shares the secret of women. They love men. They desire them. They desire sex as intimately and directly as any man. Yet sometimes
you
must...
You know, I feel like we know in our personal lives, I feel like we know guys like this. Guys who talk like this, guys who act like this. I wonder if you would... agree with, after we get off air, I wonder if you would agree with me, because I see some characteristics that maybe you might know much better than I will. Well, we'll get to it.
Disguise it. This is because of society, friends, family, her career. She must hide it. He realizes that a woman is complicit in her own seduction. She desires it. It's a very powerful frame of mind, because when you believe that, they start to believe it too. When you consider it like this, that they're all your girls.
Yeah, same with conspiracy theories, dude.
That's right.
I mean, we're not all going there.
There is no such thing as picking a girl up. She's already picked up. She's already your girl. You respect that she's in a relationship, but she's still your girl. You have respect for her.
What in the good fuck is he talking about?
He's coming at some very basic concepts in a real weird roundabout way.
Really weird, really complicated,
yeah.
Really unnecessary way. All women are not your women. That's a possessive. That's possessive.
And yeah, no, yeah. You can't even say that out loud.
No. In 2025?
No way.
I guess this is why he's now the depressed. It's on because it didn't work out for him. Trait number two. All right, we'll get to this one.
Every true lover knows that the secret to his power over women lies in the power they have over him.
Huh?
Wow. That goes against everything that we've been taught. I'm the prize. She's just another girl. She has no power over me, right? Right. In theory, that is correct. But in practice, the notion of being unable to control your desires around her can be very seductive. Every seducer from Casanova to George Clooney recognized the power of showing a little vulnerability to a woman, and they used it very consciously. He comes across as being delighted by women. That's the way he is. And truly, he is delighted by women. He is delighted by the way they flow through life.
Oh my God, he's putting himself in the same category as George fucking Clooney. George Clooney that has one huge... trait. One huge, it's not even a trait. It's a thing that he has that one-ups every other guy in the entire world. He is incredibly famous, good-looking, rich. I've named three. I said one. Now I've named three things.
He is the lead role on ER.
Yes. Lead role on ER. Yeah. He manufactured a persona on screen that he took off stage. He's just a cool, smooth cucumber, but he can afford to be.
Right.
What's not to love about George Clooney's own life?
And the way they occupy this world, their essence enamors and enchants him. And in return, he can't help but celebrate them. That's the key. He can't help it. He lets it be known that he is delighted by her. He genuinely likes women, and men that like women are liked by women. The trick is not to overcompensate, to be too vulnerable. You don't want to come across as inept or pathetically needy.
Yeah, see, that's where I think I lose it. I I think that's my
downfall. I'm just being vulnerable. My throat hurts real bad.
I got a bad flu.
Just occasional flashes of vulnerability or non-smoothness in her presence.
Non-smoothness.
This is because men who exhibit no...
You landed that plane perfectly. Non-smoothness.
Weakness to a woman can sometimes be intimidating to her. She might reject you to prove a point and to bring you down to a level of humanness again.
To prove a point?
She feels intimidated and vulnerable sometimes. And she mistrusts a man who doesn't sometimes display a human side as well. So you may have massive experience with women.
The music is getting worse as we go along. There is little...
He should have turned it down 10 hours ago.
Yeah, he should have turned it off 10 hours ago. Nothing quite like being obnoxious the entire time through with shitty fucking music that you paid $12 for on some random website. All right. Okay, I don't know how much more I can take of this right now, anyway. But, wow.
It's the slow build on those lists with this guy.
Yeah, Zan has been this way for, I mean, now we've seen him through different parts of his career.
Three decades.
He has always been this guy. I have to give it to Zan about one thing. Zan is probably the least offensive pickup artist out there. He says some really dumb shit.
Really dumb.
But I think in my heart of hearts, I don't believe that Zan is up to no good.
He wanted to tell these men, just be a safe space to women, except
yes.
He said it in a really creepy way.
Yes.
He said, be polite and be human, which everyone should be doing anyway.
Yes.
But he'd have to make it creepy in like 70s porn production.
Yeah, it's weird 70s porn production with a lot of extra words and you're throwing in Shakespeare. You're basically, I think, taking like three sentences worth of really good communication and turning it into 2 hours. It's
yeah.
too much. But it's funny.
It is.
It's funny for us. So there you go. Anyway. No love lost here, Zan. I'm sure you're a wonderful human being. Okay. Well, Tina, hey, thanks.
Of course.
For being
Brian.
Here today. I hope you come back because yeah. we got a couple days of this. So hopefully Tina can come and help us out and maybe we'll have some other special guests along the way. Chrissy, of course, at Memfo. You can go to memfofest.com and still get tickets to see Widespread Panic for 2 nights. And then there's a bunch of other people that are playing. 2-3 stages of fun, a big electric dance area, lots of vendors.
Great foodstuffs.
Great foodstuffs. And then you're in Memphis, where, of course, you can, you know, the birthplace of rock and roll.
You can walk.
Yeah, you don't walk. Yes. There are certain places. Listen. Not because you should be scared of walking, but because there are just some places, you know, when you're not at home and you're unfamiliar with the territory, you do have to mind your P's and Q's.
Do a little homework.
Yeah, do a little homework. All right, tcbpodcast.com. All the audio, all the video right there from one location, including this one. 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas. We'll take them all right there. Text us or leave us a voicemail. At the commercial break on Instagram, TCB Podcast on TikTok, and YouTube.com/TheCommercialBreak for all the episodes on video the same day they air here on the audio. Okay, Tina, that's all I can do for now. I'll tell you that I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Tina and I will say, we do say, and we must say, goodbye. Bye. Get out.